and welcome to a very slightly different Market English Eye on La Liga podcast today. I'm your host, Mark May, as per usual. We've been down in Madrid this last few days. Myself, Jason Pettigrove, Dodger Yvonne, Ewan McTeer, the usual gang, all down in Madrid. And we've just exited the Estadio Wanda Metropolitano on Sunday evening, having watched Atletico Madrid Real Betis. That was a 0-0 draw. Jason Pettigrove is standing alongside me, who was at the Copa del Rey final, the same venue. Not a 0-0 draw, the exact opposite, should I say. Really a astounding win for Barcelona. We talked about beforehand now that was a very unpredictable game going into it, perhaps ended rather predictably, shall we say. And as I say, Jason standing alongside me now. How's it going, Jason?
Yeah, very well. I apologise to the listeners in advance because they can obviously hear from my voice. It's a little bit croaky after yesterday, but we've all had a great weekend out here in Madrid, and I have to take my hat off to Atleti with their brand new stadium. It's an absolutely wonderful venue. We've had a couple of very good games here.
Yeah, we also went down to Leganés Deportivo on Friday night. Another 0-0 draw. Astoundingly, all the games that I seem to go to in La Liga end 0-0. It's a personal little enjoyment factor there. I don't get to see goals when I come down to these places. But we'll start with the Barcelona game then. 5-0. It started off, you know, kind of as we expected, a bit even, a couple of chances, then it breakaway, and Coutinho's role in that first goal was he laid off to Suarez. And I remember sitting in the restaurant I was watching it and thinking, that was Messi who laid that off, right? That was a fantastic assist, exactly how Messi would have done it. But it's Coutinho, it was probably his first major action in a Barcelona shirt.
I think he had a great game, actually. It wasn't just that assist. I think, you know, he got really into the game very quickly. As you say, the assist to Suarez was fantastic, but if we can call it the pre-assist from Cillessen, I mean, yeah, that really showed up how poor Sevilla were defensively at the very beginning, pushing up such a high line and just one ball over the top. Route one isn't really Barcelona's style, but you have to take your hat off to Cillessen for seeing the opportunity. And yeah, I mean, 1-0 after I think it was about 13 minutes, it was really one-way traffic from then on.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a disappointing spectacle as it happened, because, you know, 1-0, there's still the chance for Sevilla to come back into it, even at 2-0. But then I think the third goal just before half-time, that is the traditional classic killer, isn't it? That really demoralises Sevilla. And you could tell, looking at Montella on the touchline, I think Sevilla were just didn't have a great day of it.
They didn't, but one of the things I want to pick up on, and I think there was quite a few people in the stadium, and I believe you and Dov were talking about it as well, is that Ben Yedder was left on the bench again, and he's obviously their most potent striker. He scored the goals to get them past Man United, and they haven't won since then. I would have thought in a final, which, you know, they've got to go all in to win it. Mm. To me, it would seem a very simple decision to put him in, unless he's injured, unless there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But yeah, when it's 3-0 half time, the game's already over. The Barcelona fans by 60 minutes were already singing champions, which I've never heard in a final ever. Mm. And I have to feel sorry for the Sevilla fans, you know, supported their team throughout. We a great, great set of fans. But 5-0 in a final is just an awful loss.
Yeah, it becomes embarrassing at that stage. And Samuel Umtiti almost made it 6, I think it was, or maybe it's just before the 5th goal. He had his chance that he couldn't quite take it. Where does this leave Barcelona then? Because they'd had that awful time after the Roma game. They'd not been playing particularly well, it must be said. They've been scraping a few wins against some not particularly great teams. And, you know, there were questions. There has to be questions about that sort of club going into a big game like this. And where does it... Now they've, you know, excelled so well, and, you know, there can be almost no criticism of how they played on the night. Does that leave them in, you know, just back to where they were, or perhaps even further above their state beforehand?
I just think it answers all the questions. I mean, we had the ridiculous situation going into the final, didn't we, where people were saying, you know, Valverde's finished. They had one bad game. Yes, it was a particularly bad game, but then you turn that on its head, and what happened yesterday, that was the Barca of old. I mean, that was a 4-4-2 Valverde, but it could quite easily have been a Pep Guardiola 4-3-3. They were everything Barcelona should be as a team. And the 5 goals, to me, fairly reflected the dominance in the whole game.
Yeah, in terms of the unbeaten run, obviously they've still got May the 6th, they Real Madrid at home, still a couple of other slightly tricky fixtures. Do you think this makes it slightly more likely or less likely Barcelona are going to finish the La Liga season unbeaten? Because for me, I think the Roma game showed that they are very capable of being beaten, but obviously you get more rest now you're not in the Champions League. They've got a lot of confidence after that Copa final win. It almost makes it more likely that now they've just got that for the last few games. The Real Madrid game obviously is a bit of a misnomer, anything can happen, but I think it could really help them push over the line in La Liga as well.
I think so, and look, they need 3 points from Depor. You know, Depor still just about in it, so we could see a surprise there, but I think what Valverde want to do is go all out to win the 3 points at Depor, and then it's done and dusted. Whether they then go on to have an unbeaten season, really, that's, I think, it's something more for the fans. You know, I guess it's something nice to have, but the main thing is they want to win the league title. If they do that next week, or whether it's 2 weeks, they're going to win the title. It's just now a question of when. And the unbeaten season, I'm not really sure they're actually that bothered.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, I mean, if it goes, then you'll obviously see they won't be bothered about it then. If in the media, they'll be saying they never really cared about it anyway. But we'll see. That Real Madrid game will come to preview in perhaps next week and give that a full look. Last thing I want to talk about with the Barcelona game then, before we go on and talk about Real Madrid's game against Bayern Munich in the week, is Andres Iniesta's moment of him lifting the trophy. It took ages for him to sort of walk around inside the Metropolitano with the trophy, like Piqué running down into the tunnel at one point, kind of asking what has gone on. But the moment of him lifting the trophy on his own in the stand, I thought was quite nice. He obviously got substituted off, and there was again like a lot of Sevilla fans and Barcelona fans united in clapping him off. The fourth goal was a work of art, as far as I'm concerned. That was a fantastic bit of play to round the goalkeeper. In terms of a send-off for someone who is, this, let's face it, this is a send-off. It was as good as it could have got.
As you said, it couldn't really be any better. Captaining your team to really a quite epic cup final win, scoring a goal yourself, having a fantastic game. You know, it was vintage Iniesta, one of the, I think it was like a drag back he did from a throw out from Cillessen. Reminded me very much of one of the ones that you see on Twitter with Zidane from about 20 years ago. I mean, his touch was sublime last night. And I think, as we're led to believe, he's going to go at some point, perhaps even announce it in the next few days. And he's very sad for Spanish football. But look, it's the way of the world. We can't begrudge him a massive payday. And you said, with the Sevilla fans as well, they all stood up and applauded him off, and that really shows what he means to Spanish football, not just to Barcelona, and I think he'll go with everybody's good wishes.
Yeah, it's easy to forget when you get embroiled in the whole club Clásico rivalries, Barcelona, etc, etc. Andres Iniesta scored the winning goal for Spain in a World Cup final, and that's not something that gets forgotten very easily at all. So we'll probably by next week's show, I'd imagine that would have been announced and heading off to Shine. We might have a final little word on it then, maybe at the end of the season, but we'll move on now and talk in a few seconds time about Real Madrid first leg away to Bayern Munich on Wednesday night in the Champions League semi-final. So Jason, do you think that going away from home in the first leg really means anything at this stage of the competition? Because, you know, going back to the Bernabeu for the second leg is obviously home advantage, etc, etc. Getting an away goal in the first leg is always a good thing as well. But for me, I'm not sure it makes any real difference that Real Madrid have to go away in their first leg. I think that this is a tie over 180 minutes. It balances it out so much. And Real Madrid away from home compared to being at home, there's not really that much difference in how they play and how successful they are.
No, I mean, we'd look at the Juventus game, and who would have predicted that Juve would have got anywhere close to being back in that game? And we don't need to go into the penalty decision on that game. It was a penalty, end of story. Against Bayern, I agree with you. I don't think it matters whether it's home or away first. Zidane's gone all in for the Champions League again. They've got the players to do it. Ronaldo's in very good form as well, so we wouldn't be surprised to see him extend his scoring streak. And, you know, I think a lot will depend on how Bayern treat it. I think if Bayern want to come out and play, we'll see a very, very nice set of semi-finals. But if they want to sort of sit back and defend and counter-attack, then that tie's only going to go one way, and that's going to be with Real Madrid.
Yeah, one of the other points about going into this game and sort of what might tip the balance, as it were, is that Real Madrid didn't play on the weekend because they would have played Sevilla had they not been in the Copa del Rey final. Bayern Munich, I mean, I haven't checked the team exactly, but let's face it, they're going to have played a pretty second-string team over the weekend. Not really going to make too much difference that Real Madrid have an extra few days off, or is that something that you consider will actually play a part in this?
Well, I sometimes wonder if it has the reverse effect. Like, you want to be sort of match sharp, if you will. And okay, they've had a few extra days training, but training isn't a match. I wonder if perhaps Zidane and the team might have preferred to have had a game. They've had those extra few days. We'll see on Wednesday whether it counts or not.
Yeah, especially after Athletic Club, the 1-1 draw at the Bernabeu on the last Wednesday night ahead of the game was just a bad performance. I wasn't impressed by it. Athletic didn't impress me at all. I thought they, you know, the goal was great, but they had a chance or a few chances to get a second that they didn't even get close to taking. Real Madrid, that one was there for the taking, and it just didn't seem like a very good performance.
it's mentality, isn't it? I mean, we talked about Barcelona and Roma. I think, you know, if you don't go out onto the pitch in any game with the right mentality, then you often find it comes back to bite you. I think in the Champions League, particularly Real Madrid, have always had that winning mentality, complete belief in how good they are. And they're two games away from another final. And I think if they got to the final, there's every chance they'd win it again.
Yeah, well, they'll be facing Liverpool or Roma in Kiev if they got through past Bayern Munich. In terms of how this game is going to unfold, I'm not sure that it's going to be such a vibrant first leg. I think that Bayern Munich under Jupp Heynckes are a very different prospect from the Bayern Munich that we've seen under sort of Pep Guardiola or Carlo Ancelotti. And it just feels to me like they are going to grind Real Madrid down. And I think Bayern, they're not favourites, because Real Madrid are always the favourites in the Champions League. But Bayern Munich, if they're going to do it, I think this is the year to do it. Because Heynckes, I think he has that, in the same way that Zidane at Real Madrid, he has that Bayern Munich team set up perfectly for him. The players know what they want. Everyone is sort of on the same page and very happy with it. It seems like this is going to be probably more difficult than the Bayern Munich tie they had last season.
Yeah, I think, you know, the problem they've got is they're sort of beating teams by a hatful every week. And, you know, we see with some teams that run away with their leagues, when it comes to sort of the odd tough game here and there, the reaction is very different. So I think if Real Madrid get out of them from the first whistle, I think there's every chance that Real can get a couple of early goals. But I think that the flip side of that is you've got Robert Lewandowski in front of a club who he's openly said he wants to go to. He needs to put on a show on a personal level to show that if they're going to buy him, this is what they're buying. If he has a poor game, maybe that ends up that he doesn't end up going to Real Madrid.
Do you think he will?
Well, look, he wants to. We know he wants to. It's been reported extensively that he wants to. He changed his agent for that sole purpose.
Mm.
But then, you know, the conspiracy theorists will say, you know, if it boils down to it, and Robert Lewandowski for the winning penalty to send them to the final against somebody that he wants to play for. I mean, it's quite remarkable. But I think it'll be an equal game. I think, you know, both teams, they're European heavyweights, they're playing well. It's just when it comes down to it, the big players who show up on the night, and you know, we know who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll wrap this up in just a second then. As I say, it's a quick podcast we managed to do just out in the open after the Atletico game. Liverpool-Roma, the other semi-final, kicks off on Tuesday night. Where do you see this one heading? Because for me, as much as I like Roma and how well they've done this season, I do think that Liverpool, kind of with the Premier League factor, kind of with the sort of Mo Salah factor and everything behind them, I just think Liverpool will have too much for Roma, who, you know, they've had an okay Serie A season. They've probably been better away from home than at home, but effectively this might be two games too far for them.
Yeah, I mean, it depends which Liverpool turns up as well. I mean, Liverpool at their swashbuckling best this season have been excellent. Their front three have been as good as any front three in Europe. But then, you know, we saw just this weekend with West Brom, they have these lapses in defence. And I think, you know, Roma are buoyed by their performance and their result against Barcelona, and they'll be there or thereabouts to sort of take any chances. I think that's probably more equal than the Bayern Madrid game. If you ask me who I would fancy, I'd probably agree and say probably Liverpool to go through, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the good thing about it. It's almost, if Liverpool would have got Bayern Munich, if Roma would have got Real Madrid, we've been sitting here saying, oh, there's two definite favourites and we expect it to be very one-sided. But, you know, we've kind of got the underdogs facing each other with the big teams facing each other. So it's a very different atmosphere for these semi-finals. Should be great to watch. Tuesday, Wednesday night, of course, keep an eye on Market in English for all the goings-on with that, all the pre-match and post-match, of course. And we'll be wrapping this up then. So thank you for a nice little chat then, Jason, outside the Tube Station.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
And we'll be back as per normal next Monday talking all things La Liga. And I believe by then we might even be able to preview the Clásico. Look forward to that, and thank you for joining us. See you next time.